Welcome to episode 5 of Cinema Crespo Disso. It's technically delayed, you know, thanks to technology. Goddamn technology. But it happens. It was bound to happen. Sorry we're late by a day, but we're here. I'm your host, Christopher Crespo, film critic, writer, jack of all trades. And with me, as always, is my number two man, the director to my Conan, Drewster Cogburn. Drew, how's it going, dude?
Doing okay, Chris. How you doing this week?
Doing good, buddy. Doing pretty good, you know. Got a little stressed out over the
yeah, we had some issues.
Yeah, some hardware weekend. Issues. You
it's
know.
Okay. We're here now. Granted, it's Tuesday.
But it's fine.
Whatevs.
It's fine. Show comes out on Monday. This week it comes out on Tuesday. Hey, you know what? It's free, right?
I was just about to say, I mean, no one can really complain they're not paying for it.
At this point.
I mean, if we were charging some sort of admission or something, I could see people being angry.
Oh, yeah, 24-hour delay with admission? That'd be terrible.
Yeah, it'd be terrible.
Oh, refunds galore. That would bankrupt us. But no, we're good. We're good. We're back. We're live. Live to tape. We're actually just live sitting here. We're live people. We're still living. I can attest to that.
Well,
the problems did not stem from death or death-like circumstances.
That is correct, but depending on when you are listening to this, we may or may not be alive.
That's true. Power of technology. Right. It damned if you do, damned if you don't. You may be listening to this in the year 3159.
And we may be dead.
If so, say hello to our robot overlords for us. Tell them we appreciate their benevolent ruling over our graves, because I'm sure that's the situation at that time. But, you know, we've got this whole movie thing going on. We got a whole show for you guys. It's going to be pretty crazy. Before we get into it, though, I got a couple of announcements off the top.
Announcements.
We got stickers made, brand new stickers.
Oh, yep, did that today.
Some of you people have been waiting for them. We appreciate your help, the street teamers. If you want some stickers, get in touch with us, and we will mail you some free stickers. And all we ask is that you put them in places where there are people so they can see them. And if you can take a picture of it and then show us, send us a picture, tweet it to us, email it to us, and we'll share it with everyone. That'll be really, really cool. Also, I'm announcing, Drew, I think you know about this already. I'm doing a fantasy baseball league.
Oh, good Lord.
Baseball Crespo Disso. It's going to happen. I already got people signing up.
Do you need stickers for it?
No.
Because if so, it's going to be a while.
No, we don't need stickers. What I do need is people who are interested in being in the league.
I am not.
I know you're not. Maybe I'll get you in on the football Crespo Disso.
I'll do the football Crespo Disso.
All right. That's a while away. Right now, baseball is coming up. We got fantasy baseball starting at the end of next month, at the end of March. It's mid-February. Plenty of time to fill up these spots. So if you are interested at all, you want to join the league, it's going to be fun. I'm the commish. It's free. It's all for bragging rights, and it's going to be a good time. So you can hit me up on Twitter, at Crespo Disso. Email us, cinemacrespodisso@gmail.com. Plenty of ways to contact us. You can get all of our contact info at chriscrespo.com. I'm throwing a lot of stuff at you people right now. You think they can follow along, Drew?
I hope so.
I'm sure some of you are driving and commuting. You just save the episode. Come back to it later.
Write
the stuff down.
Or just write it down while you're driving.
Or use your phone. You got your smartphone. Get up in there and, ChrisCrespo.com. That's where all the stuff's at. That's where all your info's at, guys. So, all right. Stickers, Fantasy Baseball League, hit me up. Was there anything else, Drew? I can't remember.
Not that I'm aware of, sir.
All right. So then, here we go. We're going to start the show with... before we do the box office review, before we talk about the new movies, like we always do, and before we go into the Crespo Dome, where anything can happen, we're going to do the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
Woo!
Here's the randomizer here, super high-tech system for randomizing.
Chris Crespo, randomizer 9000.
Chris Crespo, randomizer 9000. Drew, if you go ahead and pick this week's Pick of the Week.
And this week's Netflix Pick of the Week is The Hospital.
The Hospital. Oh, that's an interesting one. I'm pretty sure it's still on there. It's been on there for a while. The Hospital is it's from the 70s. It's starring George C. Scott as a doctor, as kind of an older doctor who's sick of the system, the whole healthcare system and all that. And it's a satire black comedy about a killer, a serial killer, who's on the loose in hospital killing patients. And some people think, oh, it's just patients are just dying. But the doctor knows, oh, no, there's a serial killer on the loose. But it's not it's not a serial killer movie, though. It's totally crazy satire, condemnation of the healthcare system at the time, written by Paddy Chayefsky, who he wrote Network.
Okay.
Right. So and yeah. And the Academy Award winning Marty back in the 60s with Ernest Borgnine. Big deal, that movie. And Hospital's really good. It's full of, and this guy's style, a lot of monologues. That's his style, a lot of speeches. So George C. Scott gives a number of very like vitriol ridden, very intense speeches and monologues throughout it. It's good stuff. I definitely enjoyed. So the Hospital, good pick, Drew.
Yeah, man. Not a problem.
Good pick. Let me mark that down there so I won't forget later. I got to put that up on the website. All right. Well, we'll now get into the box office for the weekend.
Yes, sir.
I believe you have the numbers there, Drew, in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and give us the, where are we starting?
Today we're going to start with number 11 just because it's fun.
What's at number 11? What's
at
going
number
on
number 11
there?
This week, we've got Top Gun in 3D that made $1.9 million.
See, now this is weird.
Yeah, I know. That I never saw any commercials for
no
it.
No advertising
never saw this,
whatsoever.
I knew about it because when we recorded last week, yeah, it was on the list of upcoming movies. I mean, we stopped before it got to that, but
I didn't even know if it was still coming out because IMDb isn't 100% accurate all the time. It's kind of like
exactly.
Wikipedia. Anyone can upload there. So, mm-hmm. Maybe that was up there from the original announcement. They just never took it down. Maybe it's because how Tony Scott is suicide, the way he died last year. You remember? He threw himself
off the bridge.
Yeah. Maybe because of that, like they were going to do this 3D release was supposed to get interest going for they were going to do the sequel. Like Tony Scott was totally he was at least producing it, if not directing it. Obviously not anymore. Tom Cruise is in talks to like get in on it a little bit somehow. Maybe like, you know, a teacher at an academy or some BS like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy that they put it out in theaters for like a week only, and it's only for a week. It's gone.
Oh,
like,
it's gone. It is no more.
Well, it came out on Friday. It's gone by the following Thursday. So chances are by the time you're listening to this, it's gone.
It's gone. You have not seen it. You missed out.
You missed out on the Top Gun 3D. How much did it make?
$1.9 million.
On how many screens?
300.
That's not bad. For no marketing, that's actually not bad at all. That's pretty good.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? If you just happen to go to the movie theater and you see options, la, 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 Top Gun 3D,
if you're the
and
type
it
of
starts
person,
now?
If you're the type of person to go to a theater, like, without, like, you go to the theater and you pick your movie there. I know there are people that,
mm-hmm.
that do that.
I used to do that
like
back
whatever,
in the day.
Whatever is playing next.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks
you
good.
You just kind of walk in, it's like, what do we got going on here?
That's how you end up seeing stuff like Varsity Blues or like, oh, this looks all right. Like, no.
No, it's not. No, it's you terrible. Are mistaken, sir.
All right. Well, hey, Top Gun 3D, that's pretty cool. All right. So then what's the number five movie, I guess?
Number five movie this week. We have Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters that made another $5.7 million for a grand total of $43.8.
It also made $84 million internationally.
Okay, so we are now
127 million worldwide.
So that's $70 million profit.
And how many weeks in?
We are
3 weeks in.
3 weeks? Nope. Yeah, 3 weeks.
Three
yeah.
weeks in.
3 weeks.
You can't. Don't forget the marketing budget, dude. Usually, you can at least double a film's budget based on marketing and stuff like that.
Painful.
So a $50 million budget. Figure they put about $50 to $60 million into the marketing and the distribution. But still, $127 million on that, and they still got time to go.
On that garbage movie.
Yeah, I think they're pretty happy.
Yeah,
100%. They got to be pretty happy with that. All right, well, let's move on.
All right, this week at number four, we have Silver Linings Playbook, which made an additional $6.4 million for a grand total of $89.5.
Wow.
13 weeks.
On a budget of $21
million. Yes.
Well, that's the 13 weeks. That's the slow burn.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the first 13 week.
13 weeks.
The very first week was in like four theaters. And then the second week, they're like, all right, let's bump it up to 100.
Yeah, now it's in almost 3,000 theaters nationwide.
That's something. That's something that that's what they call in the business legs. When a movie has legs is when it plays for a while in the theaters and it keeps making money. That's what Silver Linings Playbook is doing, but in a more Oscar-y way.
Yes.
You know? And then with the when the Oscars, speaking of which, are about 2 weeks away. This will get to like 100 million by then.
How easily.
And, you know, a lot of times the Oscar winners go to the movies that also do really well financially. Yeah. You know, it's actually rare when the best Oscar winner goes to something that doesn't do very well in the theaters. So it making $100 million looks good for it. Looks good for its chances.
Yes, it does.
Same thing going with Lincoln. I think Lincoln's somewhere around 100 right now.
According to my numbers, Lincoln has it had
173.6. Oh, see, Lincoln's banking, so that's out, man. That's a lot of money. And that movie has the most nominations of any other film.
And it's been out for 14 weeks.
But where's it at for this week?
This week it comes in at number 12.
Okay. Not even in the top 10. What's that, less than a million?
1.8.
Yeah, they'll take it at this point. They already got the DVDs printed out ready to go.
Yeah, yeah.
They got two versions. One that says nominated for all these awards, and one that says winner of all these awards. And
that's
depending
awesome.
On whatever happens, like, all right, it's like the when two sports teams play
exactly.
the Super Bowl, and they got the losing team shirts.
Yeah,
and
but
off
I don't.
To Africa.
I was about to say I don't think they send the bad DVD covers to Africa.
Yeah, there's not much they can do. Not like clothing. All right, number three movie.
Number three movie this week is Side Effects, which made $9.3 million.
$9.3 million. That's the low end for a Steven Soderbergh movie, and it has a budget of $30 million. So it'll get to about 30. For comparison, right?
Okay.
Haywire.
Yeah.
The action, his action movie,
yes,
that came out a year ago, that opened to $8 million.
Okay.
And ended up making $19 million total, which isn't, you know, not
too
very
hot.
Good. The Informant, Matt Damon movie.
Yeah.
$10 million opening.
Weird Matt Damon movie.
Weird
though.
Matt Damon movie. So people stayed away. $10 million opening, $33 million total. So I'm thinking with this, even though there's recognizable people, you know, Channing Tatum, Catherine Zeta-Jones, et cetera, et cetera.
Rooney Mara.
It's probably going to top out at 30 at the most. Not going to play too well internationally. And that's the thing with Soderbergh. Sometimes his movies make over $100 million, like the Ocean's films, Aaron Brockovich, Traffic, his most popular films, obviously. They're the ones that made over $100 million. And then he has these ones that they can't even make like $30 million.
It's so ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Pretty good movie, too.
It's a good movie. We saw it.
Yes, we did.
Let's get into our first review of the show. We both saw Side Effects. It's a movie about
pharmacological thriller.
Pharmacological thriller about pharmaceuticals, about
The side effects.
It's in the title.
Pharmaceuticals.
I don't want to give away too much, you know. So Rooney Mara plays a girl who's depressed. She's welcoming her husband, played by Channing Tatum, home from prison after 4 year stretch for insider trading. And then,
something nice and white collar.
Right, very white collar, and something, you know, we can, oh, he's a nice guy. He just wants money. He's a nice guy. He's Channing Tatum. And then she's depressed. She apparently has a history of it, and she has a doctor. Jude Law becomes her therapist by happenstance, and they try out different medications, and then the medications have side effects, and then the movie goes off the rails.
And things get pretty crazy pretty quick.
Things get pretty crazy, but it's in the Soderbergh style, though, you know, where he takes a genre movie, but he still breaks things down, and everything's very, it's presented in a very almost stately way, I want to say, you know, it's a very masterful filmmaking, like, it's all about keeping it simple. He knows what he's doing. Story-wise, I mean, it's a good story.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, good.
There are twists and there are turns.
Twists and turns, good. The acting's very good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Rooney Mara is still really hot.
She is. Very attractive. Granddaughter of the family that owns the New York Giants and the family that owns the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's a lot of money. And she's making even more debt out of the bankroll.
And she's named for both families. The Rooney family, they're the ones that own the Steelers. And the Mara family, her last name, they're the ones that own the Giants. But then she also has like 10 brothers and sisters and 30 grandchildren. The chick in House of Cards?
Yes.
That's her sister.
Oh, very nice.
The one with the crazy eyes?
She's quite attractive as well.
I guess it's the Mara gene. Right?
Yeah.
The Rooney gene?
Or is it the Rooney gene?
Uh-oh. The Rooney Mara gene. It's both.
Wait a minute.
It's both.
Is she wearing jeans in that movie?
Maybe. Jeans. It's good. It's good. I definitely enjoyed it. And then it's Steven Soderbergh's last movie in theaters for a while. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you like to get yourself some Soderbergh.
Which I do.
Then this is your chance. This is it.
And I took it.
Recommend you go out there just like Drew and you take that shot and enjoy it. It's good. It's a good movie. So, on a scale of, on our financial scale, I would say definitely theater worthy. Like that.
It is definitely a theater worthy movie.
Yeah. And then remember, people, when I say theater worthy, I'm talking about the price of the ticket. If you want to get popcorn and soda and spend $40 on disgusting stale nachos
and
cheese,
that's ridiculous.
That's on you. All right. You're adding that garbage to the price of your ticket. I'm just talking about the ticket itself and what, the hour and 45 minutes? It wasn't even 2 hours. It was, you know, pretty relatively short considering how long movies are these days. Relatively short, entertaining time at the movies. Full, I pay full ticket price. You know, anything less than that's a bargain. Agree? Yeah.
Agreed.
All right, cool. We're in agreement. Siskel and Ebert style, two thumbs up. What's the trademark? What's the number two movie of the weekend?
Our number two movie this week is Warm Bodies, which made an additional $11.3 million for a grand total of $36.4 million.
And only the second week, right? Just
yep.
Came out. Yeah, you know, it's an okay movie.
The people are loving it, as what you said last time.
The people like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
I mean, I get it. It's zombies falling in love.
I get it. Those are the three words.
I get it. But it's still retarded.
I mean, it's the guy who did, it's the same director who did 50-50. That's a great movie.
That was pretty good.
And then The Wackness. That was a pretty
good
one.
That was awesome.
I really enjoyed that.
I'm a big fan of Sir Ben.
So, I mean, the guy knows how to put together a movie. And you can tell with Warm Bodies, you know, he's pretty... He can hit the beats. He knows what he's doing. Everything looks nice, you know. I dig his style. I dig some of his choices. It's just the story itself. It seems like... It's a mixture of so many other stories, been there, done that, you know. Like, there's this one movie, Fido, with Billy Connolly, where he's a zombie, and but a girl has her as, like, a pet dog.
Yep.
There's another movie, I think it's called They Come Back or something like that. That might be totally wrong.
I mean,
there's one about zombies, and they're zombies,
say, like,
but they tried to fulfill their old roles. Like, the zombies that died as cashiers at supermarkets, they go back to the supermarket and get behind the cash register. You know, they try to live out their existences. So it's nothing new.
Yeah, zombies coming back to life, kind of.
Dawn of the Dead, not Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead.
I was about to say the Last of the Dead movies was very much like that, where like the zombies are becoming sentient.
Land of the Dead, yes, there was that one big black zombie.
Yeah.
He was the one that was like leading the zombie people.
Yeah. He was like Moses for zombies.
Yeah, he was. He led them across the river.
Yep. Well,
to Pittsburgh.
Underneath the river. Well, through the river, I guess.
They're
zombies.
House they went.
So they don't have to breathe, so they just kind of walked underneath the water.
They just got a little waterlogged.
Yep.
Yeah. There was one moment where they hold up in Warm Bodies, they hold up a DVD box of Lucio Fulci's Zombie.
Uh-huh.
And this is a movie that is most famous for having a zombie versus shark.
Nice
scene. Yeah,
very nice.
It's really silly. It's like they got a super doped up shark just like underwater, like in a tank somewhere, and some guy in zombie makeup sticks his hand in the shark's mouth and like all his fake blood's coming out.
Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It's a lot of fun. You can find that on YouTube pretty easily. Just search Zombie versus Shark. I'm pretty sure it's the only one.
Yeah,
it's the only Zombie versus Shark footage you'll find.
It sounds like a good name for a band.
I'm surprised that hasn't been taken yet.
Zombie versus Shark.
And what's the number one movie?
Number one movie this week, Identity Thief, with a weekend gross of $34.5 million.
On a budget of 35
million.
On a
budget of 35, yeah.
And it's an R-rated comedy coming out in February.
Yep.
30, how much?
34.5.
Yeah, 34.5. That's excellent. That's like up there for really good opening weekends for an R-rated comedy, especially for this time of year.
Well, I mean, it's got Jason Bateman, who's a very likable dude.
Likeable guy,
and it's got
the
fat chick from Bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids, Melissa McCarthy.
So, I mean... The ladies are going to go see the fat girl who's funny, and the guys don't mind Jason Bateman so much.
She is funny. The movie is pretty much built around her.
Yeah.
You know, it's her showcase, and she's good. She's enjoyable. The movie itself isn't, it's not that good.
Not that good.
It's got moments that made me laugh. I never really hated it. I hated her character, and then I hated her character because the movie wants you to hate her.
Well, yeah.
And then I did kind of hate how... the movie then tried to make me sympathetic for her. And I'm like, screw you, movie. You made me hate this woman
and
for the last 30, 40 minutes. Now you want me to, out of nowhere, start feeling sympathy for her. Because, deep down inside, she's a person. She's a person, blah, blah. And she really feels bad. You know, I mean, what a load of
BS.
Right. But still, it was kind of funny. I mean, I didn't hate it. I hated that stuff, but I didn't hate it. A couple weird things about the movie, though.
Okay.
All right. Big to-do about he lives in Colorado.
Okay.
She apparently lives in Winter Park, Florida.
So she lives right down the road.
But
from us.
It's obvious that they did not film in Winter Park, Florida. They didn't even bother to make it look like Winter Park. They didn't bother to make it like Florida at all.
It was just like a chick shopping at nice boutiques.
Exactly. Yeah, not even the nicest boutiques. I'm like, your place is nicer than this in Winter Park.
I'm sure there are. There definitely are.
Like, wherever they filmed, it didn't have nearly as much personality as the actual Winter Park would have had. They were trying to hide the fact that they weren't there. And it's such a relatively small community anyway. I heard that the original story is written by a guy that lives in the Central Florida area.
Uh-huh.
So that's probably why Winter Park's in there in the first place. Yeah, but then it gets touched up.
I mean, if you live in Central Florida area, then you know that Winter Park's where the money is.
Right. And then it gets touched up and by a new screenwriter, and then the director gets his hands on it. But they still kept Winter Park.
That's a really odd thing to keep.
It is odd. And then there's a joke in there when Jason Bateman, he's telling his kids, like, I got to go find this woman. He has to go out and get her. Obviously, and we haven't even talked about what the movie's about. The movie's about she plays an identity thief. She steals Jason Bateman's identity because they have the same name, Sandy. Yeah. That's it. That's the whole movie.
Okay.
He tells the kids, I have to go to pretty much the worst place on Earth.
Yes.
That's how he describes.
Well, I mean,
that's how he describes
Winter
Florida.
Park isn't necessarily the worst place.
See, that's
place
the thing. Winter Park is really, really nice.
Parts of Winter Park are really, really nice.
And Florida's not that bad.
I've been worse places than Florida.
Right. In this country, let alone in places out of this country.
Oh, yeah.
But people like hating on Florida. It's cool.
Of course.
But
we can't vote, so.
Well, some of us could. The older folks in SoFlo.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, the state of Florida, we all get grouped together. We can't vote, Chris. That's the joke.
We're not going to take any political stances here.
That's the joke.
Back to the movie. Winter Park, Florida. That was weird. And then they didn't bother at all. And then
so weird.
Same thing with Colorado. I know for a fact that one of the scenes that they shot that's supposed to take place in Colorado, they shot it in Atlanta.
Sweet.
I know that for a fact. If they were going to shoot the movie in Atlanta, why not at least make one of the two locations?
Atlanta.
Well, yeah, why not make the Winter Park version, portion of the movie in Atlanta? And then, oh, look, now we're actually here. We can use it. You know, it's, I don't know.
Weird.
Stuff like that is weird. And speaking of which, the reason I know why that one scene, there's at least one scene that's set in Colorado but shot in Atlanta. A guy that was on 104.1 Real Radio, this dude, Black Bean, he was on there a few years back. He goes by name, I think his real name's Carlos.
Okay.
Carlos Navarro, I think. He's in the movie. He has a role in the movie. Actually, he's in the trailer. He's the Spanish guy in the gas station that cuts up Jason Bateman's ATM card. He's like, pay your bills. Yeah. And he's making fun of him. He's that guy. And he's a local dude trying to make it, you know, and
Doing his thing.
And after a few years, it worked out for him. That's kind of cool.
Very nice.
Local good connection. Him. Yeah, and I find that kind of interesting because, you know, I was on Real Radio as a guest for a while there.
And now you have your own podcast.
Now I got my own podcast. And then he was on Real Radio as an employee for a while.
And now he is in a
he's
national
movies with,
movie.
With Jason Bateman. Yes, and Patrick. Patrick Bateman? Jason Bateman.
Jason.
Patrick Bateman's American Psycho. And then correct. I'm thinking Jason Statham, too, because he just finished shooting a movie in New Orleans with Jason Statham. I just heard him on an interview. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Small world. So, yeah, Identity Thief. Not too good. I'd say it's an HBO type movie.
Oh, I can't wait till it comes out on the HBO.
It's HBO. Or maybe even if it's on when it hits TBS in, like, 2016, because that's how long it takes.
Word.
Apparently, 2.5-3 years.
Okay.
That'll totally
be all over TBS.
Yeah, it's like Dinner for Schmucks.
Yeah.
The Paul Rudd, Steve Carell movie. Mm-hmm. That's totally a TBS movie.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else in here is totally getting ripped off. All right, so hey, that's the box office, right?
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about the new movies coming out this week. I got the DVDs. There are a bunch of movies coming out on DVD this week.
All right, well, in theaters this week.
Well, we want to talk about DVD.
All right, fine, DVD. Let's go DVD.
Because DVDs come out first. And
do
then,
they?
Yeah.
Tuesday. They come out today. Oh, they're out.
These are out today, people. Go out and get them. Skyfall came out today.
Oh, God, I can't wait.
What you haven't seen yet.
No, I have not. I can't wait. So is it on the I wonder if it's on the Redbox.
We'll have to find that out.
I'll check right now.
You got a Redbox app. Why don't you look
that
up?
That's what I'm saying. Let's see if it's on the Redbox.
This movie, Perks of Being a Wallflower, came out on DVD today, and it's a really cheesy-looking coming-of-age movie.
Yeah.
With that chick from, what's that movie? Harry Potter?
Oh, okay, so that's her. That's what she's doing next, trying to branch away from this Harry Potter nonsense.
I guess so. She's still playing a chick in, like, high school or college or something, so it's not very
different. Well, it's because she looks like she's 12 years old.
And I think her character might also be a wizard, but I'm not sure. I haven't actually seen the movie.
Yeah.
But even though I think it looks cheesy, I've actually read some really good stuff. People have liked it. They've responded to it quite well. So, it might be worth checking out in some way. It just came out on DVD. The Man with the Iron Fist, directed by the RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh, I missed
represent
that one as well.
That's out on DVD today. That's a fun kung fu movie. RZA's directorial debut.
It's got Russell Crowe, right?
Russell Crowe's in it. Lucy Liu. And the guy from WWE.
Some wrestler dude.
Some ex-wrestler, David Bautista. I think that's his full name.
If you say so.
I think so. Bully, documentary about bullying. It's a pretty big deal when it came out last year.
Yeah, little kids like getting beat up for some reason.
Yep. The Sessions. That's the one where John Hawks plays the guy with polio.
Yeah. And Helen Hunt comes and bangs him.
And she's his sex therapist.
Yeah. I could use one of those.
And it's somehow not prostitution. I think that would be prostitution, Drew.
Why? Because I'm not in an iron lung?
You're not in an iron lung.
And that's the only thing. That's the only difference. That's the only thing that doesn't make it prostitution.
Correct.
Is the fact that he's in an iron lung and I'm not.
Correct.
That's retarded.
Welcome to real life. I think it's space launch.
That's retarded. Right?
I mean, how could you make something like that up? Silent Hill Revelation, the new Silent Hill movie with Sean Bean.
Jovovovovovich.
No, you're thinking Resident Evil. Silent Hill's there's no one in that one.
I know, but it's still a crappy video game movie.
Oh yeah,
I get them all confused.
Yeah, it is a crappy video game movie. And Robot and Frank, which is an interesting little drama with Frank Langella, old Frank Langella. He plays a retired cat burglar
with a robot.
He gets a robot, a healthcare worker aid robot, because it's a little bit in the future.
Okay.
Just a little in the future. He gets a robot, a healthcare worker, and that lives with him. Then he hates it at first, but then he gets it to help him get back into cat burglaring and break into places and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's a pretty good movie. I saw that one at the end a while ago. It was enjoyable. I'll go ahead and put it out there right now. It gets a little sad at the end, so heads up.
I'm sure. Well,
heads up, people.
Old
get
man
sad
and robot, one of them is dying.
No. Well, I guess that is a pretty safe bet, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Yep, that's it. So, okay, what's in theaters?
In theaters this week, A Good Day to Die Hard with Bruce Willis and some other people.
And some guy.
Some dude that plays his son.
Versus the Russians. Directed by the guy who did Behind Enemy Lines.
It looks like a giant stinking piece of fecal matter.
It looks bad. It does not look good.
It looks like there's a lot of CG and broken glass
and quipping.
And like you say, when did John McClane turn into a goddamn superhero?
I think he turned into a superhero in the third one. As much as I like the third one, it happened in that one.
I mean,
because that's
like
the one where he was surfing on the top of a dump truck while it was being pushed by water through an underground tunnel.
Because seriously, these guys are indestructible, according
to... He is now.
According to the previews I've seen.
He is now. He is completely indestructible.
He cannot die.
And he's already saying in the media that he's open to doing a sixth one. He's like, yeah, if the script's there and I can still run around and pretend like I'm running fast, and I'll keep making these movies. So
poor America.
Well, hey, if America turns out, the reason why this one got made is because America turned out in droves for the fourth one, that PG-13 one that came out a few years ago,
the one I didn't see.
That's the one that made the most amount of money out of all the diehards.
You're
by far
me.
Of course it made the most money, and that's why. And then this one going to R, back to an R rating, that's why it's come out in February instead of the summer, because we're like, well, if they're going to go for an R rating, it's not going to make that much money anyway, so we'll just go ahead and dump it in the winter.
Why do R-rated action movies not make money? I don't understand.
Because teenagers can't go see them.
And teenagers are the big audience for that, so I get it.
Yeah, teenagers like action movies, and if you make it R-rating, keep the kids out, that's a big portion of the audience. That's where do you think all that Avengers money came from? You think those were 30, 40-year-olds?
Such a forgettable movie.
Not for the 17-year-old in you. The 17-year-old in me loved the Avengers.
Well, yeah, but the 17-year-old in me can also still not remember most of the movie.
That's true. I remember Hulk Smash. Hulk Smash! I remember that.
Dude, that comes from comic books.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's why it's so memorable. All right, what else is coming out?
Also this week, we have Beautiful Creatures starring a bunch of people that I don't care about.
What are the names? I don't know any of the names.
Alice Englert.
Don't know who that is.
Viola Davis.
That's the chick from... She raised young Benjamin Button, old young Benjamin Button, and the first kiss Benjamin Button, that black
chick.
Gotcha.
I mean, I know Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson, okay, yeah.
And Alden Ehrenreich?
That's Leonardo DiCaprio 2.0.
Okay.
That dude. He looks just like... He's a brunette version of DiCaprio. It's freaky. It really is.
Awesome. Maybe they're growing them in tanks somewhere.
Maybe. Maybe the DiCaprio...
Maybe the DiCaprio genome has been cracked.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe it's just so rare. It's like, oh, we can only get one of these going every 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
So this is one where it's like a movie about witches.
Yeah. Because we've already gone through vampires and werewolves and zombies. So now witches are obviously... And then after that, I guess we're going into Frankenstein's monster.
Guillermo del Toro's been trying to make a Frankenstein movie for years.
But how are they going to make it sexy so the tweens like it?
You have him crafted out of body parts from dead male models. Oh, a male model serial killer. Here we go. Sexy version of Frankenstein movie. Serial killer goes on a spree, kills a bunch of male models. Sexy lady doctor finds the body parts in the dumpster. She's like, ooh, I can make... She's an ugly lady doctor. So, ooh, I can make my own hunky man out of all these body parts. And makes a... stitches everything together, adds the lighting. Oh, it doesn't work, but it does work. And up rises Frankenstein's monster, played by... what's his name?
Alden Ehrenreich.
Played by Alden Ehrenreich, and he'll just have like a couple stitches on his body. That's it. But otherwise, he'll look perfectly fine. It won't even look like different body parts. It'll be one dude, and he'll take off his shirt in the sun, and his skin will sparkle. And then he'll like turn into a monster of some sort, and his clothes will burst off. But then he'll turn back into a Frankenstein monster, and his clothes will just be back on him. And then the girl will be like, oh, he'll like put makeup on her and fix her hair. And all of a sudden, she's pretty. And And then the townspeople, they're like, no, you can't have this forbidden love. forbidden love, the townspeople would shout.
Would it be zombie love? Is Frankenstein a zombie?
No, because his heart's beating again.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
No. No, I'm not. But in this one, his heart is beating again.
I'm pretty sure Frankenstein's monster is a zombie.
Okay, that's gonna be a tough nut to crack. Sexy Frankenstein. But we'll figure it out one day. Any other movies come out? What else is coming out?
Also coming out this week, we have Safe Haven, with Josh Duhamel and some other crappy people.
Josh Duhamel.
God, he is so generic, and this is another one of those garbage movies for females.
He is like generic white guy. It's a Nicholas Sparks adaptation, The Notebook, exactly. And whatever else this guy has made. All his movies make tons of money.
Yeah, because the ladies love it.
And hey, the ladies need movies too.
Oh, I understand that.
So hey, give them their movies.
Give them their Josh Duhamel.
I did find it funny when we saw the trailer. The trailer started with the title card. It said Safe Haven. Yes. And at first I thought, I was like, oh, is that the name of the production company?
Because you're going to see it again at the end of the trailer.
Because at the very end of the trailer, they showed it again. The exact same title card.
Safe Haven.
It's like, wow, they really want me to remember this generic
Safe
title.
Safe Haven.
This should have been hashtag at the bottom the whole time.
Safe Haven.
Hashtag Safe Haven.
Safe Haven.
Okay, you can stop. And what else is coming out?
Also coming out this week, we have Escape from Planet Earth.
Animated?
Starring Brendan Fraser, Sarah Jessica Parker, Jessica Alba, Rob Corddry. I'm sure there's also some other people in there, but they're not listed.
This one's some sort of like independent animation company. It's not DreamWorks. It's not Pixar. I don't even think it's Fox. I think Fox may have acquired it for distribution.
It says the studio that and one of the production companies behind
Hoodwinked. Yeah, they're an independent studio. Weinstein Company distributed Hoodwinked and their sequel. Yeah, so this is one of them upstarts. And these guys, they try, you know, it's really hard.
I mean, they do. Well, of course it's really hard when you have people like Pixar that you're up against. I mean...
Yeah, they have $140, $150 million to pump into their movies and years to make them.
And they're always awesome.
And then these movies, they try to make them faster for less money. And it obviously doesn't work. They don't have the same talent pool, so yeah, it's not as good. And it looks, I don't know, it's about...
aliens crash landing. They want to leave. We won't let them.
Yeah, on Earth, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Wah, wah. All right, so that's it. That's all that's in theaters?
That's all we care about.
For wide releases. All right. Well, hey, that brings us to the midway point of the show.
Yes, sir.
So let's step into the Crespo Disco and take a break. we're gonna party down a little bit. Go ahead. I'm gonna just play this track, and we'll let you guys listen to it. See if you know what it is, and then when we come back, I'll tell you what it is, and it's your own little personal trivia contest. If you win, give yourself a pat on the back, and if you lose,
punch yourself in the nuts.
You should be ashamed. If you don't have nuts, figure something else out. So here we go. Step into the Crespo Disco. We're gonna freshen up our drinks. We're drinking some Brooklyn Local 2s here. Some doses. They're delicious. We're going to freshen this up, take a quick break, and then we'll be right back to step into the Crespo Dome. Enjoy the break. And that's it. All right.
I don't sleep, I do nothing but
Welcome back from the Crespo Disco. I hope you guys partied down with that one. You shook your money maker a little bit. Drew, did you get down with that?
Oh, I got down.
In case you guys couldn't pick out what that movie was from, that song is from the movie Drive.
Oh, very nice.
It's Under Your Spell by Desire. Very good stuff. So there you go. Hope you enjoyed that. Now that we're back, let's step into the Crespo Dome.
Oh man, choose your weapon, Chris.
Where anything happen.
I'm picking a broadsword this time. I fixed it from when SPK broke it.
You fixed it?
Yeah, I fixed the broadsword.
I am a fan of the nunchuckers.
It took me a while, and I mean my grinding stone got broken down a lot. I fixed it.
That's what that noise was last night.
Yeah.
Man, that's why
the stickers are late. I was working on the broadsword.
It's like, what's this guy doing at 3 in the morning?
I'm grinding the broadsword, man. SBK bunted it up.
All right. Well, we're ready to go. Ready to do battle in the Crespo Dome. To start with, this week, this Crespo Dome is packed.
Oh, man.
It's packed. So we're gonna fly through some of this stuff. I got a book review.
Oh, man.
I want to try to do one of these every now and then. All right. So this is the first ever Crespo Disco
book club.
Yes. Cinema Crespo Disco Book Club. Yes, very good. So if you want to be part of the book club, all you got to do is...
read the book.
Read this book. Go get this book. And the book that I'm reviewing right now is called Superman versus Hollywood.
Does it have anything to do with the actual Superman?
What do you mean?
Like, dude flying through the sky.
It's specifically about Superman. Yes, it's Superman versus Hollywood. It's all about Superman, the property, character.
You thought
it was an allegory or a metaphor?
You never know. Some of these titles can be weird sometimes.
Okay,
you know?
Like
they've got that one about the schools called Waiting for Superman.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with freaking Superman.
Understood. No, this one's very much about Superman.
Okay.
It's a very literal title. Superman versus Hollywood. It's all about Superman debuted in 1938, and almost immediately they made radio shows based on the character. Then they went into television, the movie serials, 15-minute short films that they made in the 40s, and then obviously all the way up until the movies of the 70s and 80s, and you know what we know Superman today. This book covers all that stuff. It's really incredible. It's even if you're not a fan of the character, it's fascinating to see how one property that is the most recognizable properties in the whole world.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Top five in fictional characters for recognizability in the world. It's fascinating to read how the entertainment industry handled and mishandled the character. All the stops and the starts. More fascinating than all the behind the scenes stuff about the projects that did get made. All the projects that didn't get made.
Oh, I'm sure they're so weird.
And because of the comic book crossover and because we're talking about DC, they even get a little bit into the Batman movies, which is kind of cool. Batman properties, the Batman TV show and how that affected how people saw Superman. Smallville, the TV show, that came about because originally someone had a screenplay called Bruce Wayne, a pilot for a TV series, and they wanted to do a whole TV series that would be about Bruce Wayne before he ever becomes Batman.
So young Bruce Wayne.
Young Bruce Wayne, getting all the skills and the tools and everything he needs to eventually become Batman. And pretty much the first hour of Batman Begins.
And then instead they were like, hey, we could do this with Superman.
Well, what happened was that pilot, that script got a little bit of traction, it got around town, but then it didn't get made. But in the script there was a cameo appearance by a young reporter, not named, but obviously Clark Kent / Superman.
Yeah.
And then someone was like, oh, wait, we got this. Superman's in here. We can do the same thing, but we'll call it Smallville, blah, blah, blah. And they made, Clark Kent, the TV show, and they called it Smallville, which was
really bad.
And the book is full of incredible stories like that. The whole section on Kevin Smith and his foray with the property in the 90s and the instructions and the notes that he got from the producers working on it. That alone is worth reading this book. And it goes all the way up to the Brandon Routh 2006 Superman Returns.
Okay.
And it even covers how that one, the critics kind of were warm to it, didn't like it very much. It made a little bit of money, but overall it was pretty much rejected. And then it ends with like, oh, what's next? What's next for Superman?
Well, it's a weird Superman movie.
Well, yeah, that is. It's a mopey kind of. Yeah, I'm not that big on that.
It's weird.
It is kind of weird. So obviously it doesn't talk about Man of Steel, which comes out this summer.
Because
that's kind of a recent development.
Uh-huh.
But everything else is covered in this book. It's awesome. Superman versus Hollywood. I highly recommend it. And also I have a review on ChrisCrespo.com where I get a little more into detail about why I like it. So you can go ahead and check that out there. So here you go. Yes, Crespo, the Crespo Diso Book Club of the Month. I don't know if I'll be able to do it every month. But
well, Book Club of the series.
Book Club of for the now is Superman vs. Hollywood, Crespo approved. All right, so Drew, we watched the first few episodes of House of Cards.
Yes, we did.
What, the first three?
Yes.
Right? Good stuff, right?
Oh, fantastic.
I'm definitely enjoying
I love watching the government get screwed by their own people. You know,
yes,
it's like, it's like there's like, you know, it's Kevin Spacey as a congressman, and he's just like, you know what?
It's politicians screwing each other over.
Well, no, exactly. And it's fun watching politicians get screwed over, even though it's not for the reasons I want them to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But at least somebody's screwing them for some reason.
Someone's getting it somewhere.
Yeah. And then that makes me feel good on the inside.
It is fun watching Kevin Spacey. He got it pretty bad to start out the series. He gets it pretty bad.
But he dishes it out even.
That's the fun, seeing people after that point trying to push him even more, and then his workarounds, and then the way his character like addresses the camera. And they break the fourth wall and all that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he talks just like Zach Morris did. Say by the back.
Just like Zach Morris.
He's like all of a sudden, he's like, freeze. Yo, so this is what's going on.
It's like timeout. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so it's good stuff.
No, I highly enjoy it.
I found it interesting how David Fincher directed the first two episodes.
Yes.
And then the third episode was directed by James Foley, who directed Glengarry Glen Ross.
Okay.
All right. Different director, obviously.
But still the same style.
It visually fit. It felt continuous. So I thought that's one of the things I was the most interested by, because Fincher has a very... very unique style.
Well, I'm sure Fincher. Everyone was just like, I'm sure Fincher was just like, listen, just do your best impression of do your best David Fincher impression for this episode.
I think it also helps that with his two episodes, he also toned back the Fincherisms a little bit.
Uh-huh.
He almost went like the traditional classicist, you know, like the Steven Soderbergh route, where it's just very clean photography. More about the color palette. The lighting is very, very important to Fincher.
Yes.
Very dark, a lot of shadows. But he usually gets a little flashy. You know, he can get a little crazy sometimes with the camera work, and he cut all that back. And I think it made it easier for the following directors to go in the same footsteps.
To follow up.
Yes. I'm looking forward to the Joel Schumacher ones. You know,
most definitely. I'm looking forward to all of them. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to finishing the series.
Yeah, really quick.
And that's the thing. I want it. I want to crush it.
Right now. I want to stop the podcast and just start watching it and not stop until it's over.
But I do like the self-restraint and trying to watch it piece by piece.
Yeah.
And kind of making a little thing out of it. You know, it does kind of stink to have to wait a whole week between episodes, you know, if you have to.
But still, it builds.
Like it's delayed gratification.
Delayed gratification.
That's my 80s synth pop cover band.
80s gratification?
80s gratification. We do a lot of Cyndi Lauper. We do hip hop versions of Michael Bolton songs.
Ooh.
It's cool stuff.
Hell yeah.
We're available for weddings and funerals.
Sweet.
It's the delayed self gratification, you know. We could have just watched it all, but then it'd be
right
over,
then.
And then we have nothing to look forward to. They're doing season two now. It's gonna take them like a year and a half, 2 years to put out the next season.
There's enough new television coming out to look forward to.
Ugh, I don't know about all the new television. I don't know.
I'm just talking about. I mean, new Breaking Bad.
Oh yeah, new Breaking Bad. Yeah, but that's the last season. Then it's done. That's another thing.
Game of Thrones.
There is Game of Thrones. Like with the Breaking Bad, I'm gonna revel in every week. Like, I'm gonna enjoy.
When does
the
that
waiting.
Start?
Game of Thrones is March.
No, I know. Game of Thrones.
I think
is March.
It's like June or July.
Okay,
I think it's June.
Because I was about to say, because we just had an episode of Breaking Bad record on the DVR, and I didn't know if it was new.
Oh, snap. That means they're gearing up.
I didn't know if it was new.
They're getting ready.
But all of a sudden, there was one on the episode.
They are getting ready. Yeah, it's all on Netflix. House of Cards.
Yeah, House of Cards, great stuff.
Good stuff.
I enjoy it.
That's the end of the House of
Cards. I can't wait to watch more.
That's the end of the House of Cards conversation. We're trying to keep this thing
quick.
Relatively short.
If we can.
Drew, you saw End of Watch this week for
the
first time.
Yes, I did.
Go ahead and give people your End of Watch review.
I cut it on the in-demand. I really enjoyed it. I was looking for something action-packed, and I got it. There was lots of guns, lots of violence.
Yeah.
There was a nice little brotherly love story of, you know, two cops getting along, you know, starting from the beginning, you know, working their way through, blah, 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 going through the same stuff. Because the all-out violence was, I was really happy with
it. It gets
and
intense.
And it was, you know, it was kind of like the found footage style where it was, you know, like he was recording it himself and it was kind of like handy cam.
In the beginning, they made a point. Yeah. He was like, oh, I'm doing this for a project. It's all for a school project.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one aspect of the movie that I don't like. I felt like they could have made that film without going with the whole POV first person kind of, you know, handheld camera.
Well, because that definitely starts to, it lacks in the end. Like, in the end of the movie, it's not as prevalent as it was in the beginning.
No, I mean, even pretty early on, I noticed right away they're including helicopter shots, and there's, like, third-person shots of him holding, of Jake Gyllenhaal holding the camera. It's
exactly.
Like, these shots are not possible with the rules you've set up in your universe, you know? So, I mean, right away, that annoyed me. That aspect of it annoyed me. But other than that, I agree. I think it's a great film. Really good character work. They have some, like, deep conversations, you know?
Oh, really deep conversations. But they're light at the same time.
They are light. They start simply, too. It's always, like, they start about talking about something really simple.
Yeah, like two dudes just hanging out, whatever, talking about whatever.
And then all of a sudden it gets a little profound.
Yeah,
it gets really deep. You're like, what? And then they get into a shootout.
Exactly. And lots of people die.
And then people die. Oh, cool. So you liked it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was,
How would you rate it?
With
our rating system.
I would have liked to have seen it in theaters.
Mm.
I think it would have, because, you know, I caught it on the in-demand, which is, you know, I guess one step down because it's still almost full price for a ticket.
But you didn't go out. You didn't go out to see it.
I think I would have enjoyed it in the theater.
If you had known?
Well, it's not that if I had known. I knew about the movie.
I was
working a lot.
If you had known, it would have been worth the trip and dropping the couple of bucks to see it in the theater.
If I had had the time then, I would have liked to have seen it in theaters, but I didn't have the time. So, like I said, I would have liked to have seen it in theaters.
So you would have
paid full price for it.
Okay. All right, there you go. Cool. End of watch. Gets the Drew seal of approval. All right, well, we got a number of questions, topics that, you know, people that are listening to the show, they want us to discuss. They want to hear our opinions. They want to know what Drew thinks about certain things.
That's crazy.
No, it's not crazy.
I think it's way cray, bro.
You think it's way cray?
Way cray.
Oh, let's see here. I got some of these questions.
Where does that cray stuff come from, anyway?
Cray?
Why is everybody saying cray
these days? Because things are cray.
Well, I mean, I understand.
Well, you know, I mean,
I get it, but where does it come from?
Where does any slang come from?
I mean, it comes from somewhere.
It comes
some
from somewhere.
Some idiot in some song said it, I'm sure.
It comes from the streets. It comes from. It comes from the streets. I get it from Twitter.
It makes me angry.
You can get at me at Chris Wodiso.
I think it's stupid. It makes me angry.
I'm sorry. It makes you cray angry. It's just cray. Speaking of Twitter. Why are you covering your face? Speaking of Twitter, at Terror and Love, good guy at Terror and Love. He wants us to talk about movies where heroes die in the end.
Movies where heroes die in the end.
So obviously this is going to be a spoilery little conversation here.
Yes, it is.
Heroes where movies die in the end. When I got the question, I had a little trouble thinking of some, like, off the top of my head.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not the
it's rough.
Yeah, it's not the most prevalent thing to happen. Usually people like their happy endings.
Yeah. That's very American.
And the heroes usually don't die in their happy endings.
Well, sometimes some heroes die, but not all of them.
Does the Iron Giant die at the end of it? I think he does, because he flies up towards a bunch of, like, missiles, and he blows up the missiles in the sky.
Yeah.
I think it's the assumption is that he dies.
I mean, Homeboy died at the end of The Wrestler. What the hell is his name?
Mickey Rourke. Yes. You know, I think
does he die?
I think he dies. That's an ambiguous ending.
See, at the end of that movie, I always imagine his dead body flopping on top of the guy.
Yes.
and then the referee gives the 1-2-3 count, and they raise his arm,
but
and
he's
then
dead.
It drops.
Yes.
And then everybody freaks out.
Yes, I imagine that he dies. He dies in the air.
Yeah,
midair. Halfway, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I agree with that one. Yeah, he dies at the end of that one.
So that, I think, I mean, that's a great movie.
What other heroes are dying at the end? Well, there are no heroes in Reservoir Dogs, and everyone dies.
Everybody
dies. That one.
Well, I guess they're at least the protagonist of the movie, not necessarily the hero per se.
Okay, well then, Tim Roth's character, the undercover cop, he's the hero/protagonist, and he gets it.
Yeah, he totally gets it.
Harvey Keitel, he puts a gun to his face.
That's a great movie.
Great movie. Great movie. What other heroes be dying? Scorsese movies. There's got to be some in a Scorsese movie.
I mean, pretty much everybody dies at the end of what's the one? The Jack Nicholson.
Keep thinking. Now I'm just watching you think.
Oh, it hurts my head so much.
The Departed?
Yes, there we go. The wheels don't turn as well as they used to.
Let me see. The Departed? Yeah, pretty much everyone dies except for Mark Wahlberg. Yes. DiCaprio dies. Yeah.
Everybody.
There you go.
Yeah. That's a great movie. I mean, the last scene is Mark Wahlberg killing somebody, for Christ's sake.
So are we coming to the conclusion that more movies should end with the heroes dying?
I guess it just makes it awesome reason.
Can't think of any bad ones.
I mean, I haven't thought of one yet where it's like,
why did that guy die? A lot of people get pissed off that Josh Brolin dies in No Country for Old Men, but
they don't understand the movie.
He's not really the hero.
Tommy Lee Jones. It's not about him. The movie isn't about him. It's called No Country for Old Men. Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones, the old man.
Not old country for middle-aged guys.
His perspective.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Once again, another great movie where the quote-unquote hero dies.
Where someone dies, or a main character.
And it's
a well-liked character.
And that's even great, too, because you don't even see him die.
I love that.
Completely cut out.
I love that. People hated that when that happened.
I love it,
too. People still
hate it. I think it's really good.
Have you read the book?
No.
In the book, that character Llewellyn's death happens between chapters. You don't even...
It doesn't even happen.
It doesn't even exist.
The same way, though. It's kind of the same thing.
At least in the movie, Tommy Lee Jones' character, he rolls up on the motel. He sees the Mexican guys, the guys that killed him. He sees them peeling out, and then you see the dead body.
But you can tell it's the same place in the movie. You can tell that Tommy Lee Jones is pulling up to the
same
hotel.
You can tell he's pulling up to the place, and then he rolls up to the hotel room, and he sees the dead body. I'm saying in the movie, at least the Coen brothers gave you that. In the book, in one chapter, he's alive. He's talking to the girl by the pool. The next chapter, something else completely random happens. And then the following chapter, the sheriff, he gets a call. He's like, oh, we found your boy. He's over here at the morgue. And he goes to the morgue and he identifies the body. It's not even like he shows up at the crime scene. Like, he finds out way after it happens. Hence, we, the reader, find out way after.
That's crazy.
That is cray. Downright cray.
I hate you.
All right, this question. We got a pair of questions from Billy D.
Oh, I love Billy D.
He's always got us some good questions. All right, this one's kind of...
Great question. Has he given us a question every week?
He has. Every week that we've asked for one.
That's dedicated.
And you know what? This one is long, so I am going to summarize. Hold on.
Oh, Bill.
Basically, blah, blah, blah. Do you think Disney is oversaturating their slate with Star Wars projects? And this you're saying yes. This is in relation to the standalone movies that Disney is producing. We all know that you got episodes 7, 8, and 9.
Yes.
7 coming out in 2015.
That's 3.
And then they're going to put those out like every 2 years. So we're talking about a span of 6 years.
Uh-huh.
During those 6 years, they will also be producing at least 2, if not 3 other movies. There's a Yoda movie. Six movies in 6 years. 3 episodes, and then you got a young Han Solo film, a Yoda movie, possibly, and a Boba Fett movie. The Boba Fett one and the Han Solo one are confirmed.
Yes.
I think the Yoda one is still rumored. But basically, you're talking about 6 movies in 6 years, maybe 7 years.
That's a lot of work to be done.
That's a lot of freaking Star Wars. And that's on the heels of George Lucas pulling the 3D re-release of all the Star Wars movies. Episode 1, 3D came out last year. 2 was supposed to come out at the end of this year.
Uh-huh.
3 in 3D was going to come out next year, and then 4, 5, and 6 after that.
I was waiting another 3 years to start watching these things.
I was waiting for 4, 5, and 6 myself. He canceled the whole thing because no one went out to see the first one. Because
nobody wants to see episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Exactly.
They're garbage.
But he won't capitulate. He won't admit it and just put out 4, 5, and 6.
He lost his way.
So they're saving that money.
Mr. Lucas has lost his way.
It doesn't matter now. Mr. Lucas is now $4 billion richer because he sold it off to Disney. Now this is all Disney.
Exactly. And then, my whole thing with it is I was excited when Disney got it because, in all reality, they put out good product.
Right.
For what they do.
Right.
You know, if they got the right directors on top of it to do this work, blah, 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 they can do it.
They know they do.
But seeing the production schedule, that you just told us.
That's a slate and a half.
That is, it almost guarantees that 50% of it is going to be garbage.
Yeah, I think that's good odds. I think those are great odds.
And I'm really hoping that it's the Han Solo and the Boba Fett and the quote-unquote Yoda maybe project. I hope those are the ones
that get
sidetracked, because I'm not sure if my puny little mind can handle another Star Wars crap movie.
Well, they did give... I don't think they specified. I would imagine that they gave...
The nerd in me wouldn't be able to handle it.
The standalone movies, they gave one of them to Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote... I think he wrote the third one. He wrote Jedi.
Okay.
Return of the Jedi, and he definitely directed Return of the Jedi. I don't think he wrote Empire Strikes Back, the screenplay, but he was involved in the original trilogy, Lawrence Kasdan. And since then, he's gone on to make Silverado. He's made a bunch of good movies himself. So he's a good director, and he's a good filmmaker. He's been around for a while. He's also made some crap
too. And hopefully he'll keep true to the
lore. And the thing is, he's off in one building doing his thing, while J.J. Abrams is off in another building doing Episode 7.
And you see, that makes me angry. Why aren't they talking to each other? They need to be talking to each other to make sure this all runs.
Well, young Han Solo, well, yeah, I guess. Well, you know, the Lucas Bible, the Star Wars Bible, I'm sure all that stuff is laid out. That stuff is laid out. Okay, I think we're both in agreement there. Oversaturation is a definite possibility, and quality control is an issue. Alright, that's only kind of official.
Yes.
Almost like we know who we're talking about. Billy's second question. Better soundtrack, Django Unchained or Killing Them Softly? Did you see Killing Them Softly?
Didn't see Killing Them Softly.
That's a Nick Cave, Warren Ellis soundtrack. The guy's The Assassination of Jesse James.
Okay, so I know.
Proposition.
At least I know the style.
But it's not even that much in that style so much, though. It's a little different because it's a modern movie. All their other movies are period films.
Yeah.
So that kind of like old, dusty, acoustic stylings that they did worked for like a Western.
Yeah.
But this is a little different. And to be perfectly honest, I can't even remember most of the Killing Them Softly soundtrack.
Okay.
As opposed to the Django Unchained soundtrack.
Which is phenomenal.
Which I listened to over and over and over.
Yeah, yeah.
The Rick Ross song, produced by Jamie Foxx. The 100 Black Coffins, that song's ridiculous. The Tupac James Brown mashup song.
Which is awesome.
Ridiculous, both in the movie and the way it's used in the movie and on its own. And then it's just reappropriation of like a bunch of other songs from unknown movies, you know, from the Tarantino catalog.
Yeah.
He even, there's a note in the, like, I bought the CD because, you know, with CDs, you get stuff.
Oh, yeah.
My thing is, there's like a poster in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was wild. I was like, I download stuff and I didn't get no posters.
Not unless you want to print it.
I bought a CD and I got me a damn poster. In there somewhere, it said he even recorded, like, the recordings of the different songs from different soundtracks. They came from his personal vinyl collection.
Oh, nice.
And he kept them, like, imperfections and all. He even kept the sound of the needle dropping on the record in some instances because he wanted you to hear the music in the same way that he hears it.
Nice.
And so he refused, like, the digital touch-up. You know, he refused that completely. It's all about warts and all type stuff, which is pretty cool.
So I guess Django wins.
Yeah. Yeah, Django wins for sure on that one. I mean, I love Killing Them Softly. It's a great movie, but Django is the winner. Let me see. I know I got another question here. They're all in different places. You know what? Back to Twitter. At Matt Celery, he wanted our thoughts on the trailer for The Sorcerer and the White Snake.
Ooh, that's the new Jet Li fantasy kung fu flick.
Yeah, yeah, that looked wild.
I hadn't heard about it until
we watched it.
You told me about the question, and then we had to watch the trailer.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about it either myself.
Yeah, it looks pretty crazy.
I think it looks cool.
I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I mean, if it comes, hopefully maybe it'll come to the Enzian, or maybe it'll get a wider release.
Yeah,
or,
it depends on who's distributing.
Or is this going to be like something on DVD we're going to have to check out? Either way, I'm looking
forward. DVD export of some sort.
Like I said, either way, I'm looking forward to seeing this movie. It looks very heavy, embedded in like Chinese mythology.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, the Chinese
which
mythology.
Which I know nothing about.
But I know that they love it. They're all about it.
And it looks crazy. Lots of special effects, epic fights.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it looks cool.
Things are really pretty.
I think it looks really cool. I'll definitely check it out. I mean, I'm getting sick of all the CG, but...
Yeah, whatever, dude. Come on.
No, I think it looks like a good movie. It looks cool. Let's see. We got the heroes. We're talking about the Star Wars and the Sorcerer and the White Snake. All right, this one comes from Abby in Jersey. She wants to know about our favorite romantic comedies. Valentine's Day is this week, so it's a very apropos question. I came up with, I have a whole top five romantic films.
Of course you do.
But can you think of any off the top of your head?
Some people might argue that it's not necessarily a romantic film.
You won't get no argument from me.
It definitely has the name. Romance is in the title of the film, so True Romance.
True Romance.
It's a great movie. It wasn't directed by Tarantino, but it was written by him.
Written by him, directed by Tony Scott, aforementioned Tony Scott.
Oh, poor dude jumped off.
Jumped off a bridge. Yeah. Because True Romance was so good.
It's such an amazing movie. It hits me on so many levels, and we've already talked about it once.
We talked about it last week with Maddie J, our show, Rocket Scientist and Intern Engineer Extraordinaire. Just Engineer Extraordinaire. True Romance is my number two movie on my list of five romantic type
romantic
movies.
Romantic type movies.
Let's see if we can figure out my top five.
Code 46.
Ooh, that's a good one. No, I didn't put it on there. Code 46 is a very good romantic.
It is. It's kind of romantic. Totally a love story.
It totally is a love story.
I mean, it's a really weird love story.
But keep that in mind. Sci-fi romance, maybe.
Another movie. I would actually, man, that soundtrack might be better than the Django soundtrack.
Actually, that is a really good soundtrack.
An amazing.
Speaking of good soundtracks, with romantic movies, sci-fi, can you think of another one along those lines? Maybe. Solaris.
That's a great one too. Well, I mean, it's that, man.
It is about love.
It is.
It is about love. And in the end, they're together. Spoiler: the movie is 10 years old. At the end, together. It's just are they together on Earth or in the afterlife or in his mind or on the planet
or in space?
Doesn't matter. Yeah, they're together. It doesn't matter.
Okay. I guess so.
It is kind of weird for...
It's a good one. It's kind of long, but once again...
No, it's not. It's not long. It's 90 minutes.
Are you kidding me?
It's just... It's the longest 90 minutes ever. It's super slow
that
paced.
That movie seems like it's like 4 hours long.
The original Solaris from the 70s, the Russian one, that one is legitimately like 3 hours plus and slow paced on top of it, so it feels like a 5 hour movie. It's not bad if you're I'm into slow paced films. That's why I love Solaris.
It all depends. I mean, I think the remake with George Clooney is quite good.
I love it.
Has an amazing soundtrack.
So that's my number one.
Okay.
Solaris is my number one. True Romance is number two.
Number two.
Can you think of the other three? Two of the other three are more comedy related.
Okay.
Actually, you don't ever get my number four one, Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day. Yeah, I guess you're right. It is a love story because that's what breaks the cycle.
That's why he bothers trying to make himself a better person.
Exactly.
Because in the end, he might actually win over the old Andy McDowell. Yep. Number three was Shaun of the Dead.
I guess that is it. I guess
zombie romantic comedy. But before that was the hip thing to do, a la Warm Bodies. You know, back when it was actually a novel idea to do that.
Go figure, the Brits got to it first.
And then another unconventional. I would have put, if I remembered Code 46, I would put that in front of this one. Oh, it made Code 46 my number five. So this is my number six now. But I'm going to mention anyway, Royal Tenenbaums, because it's a love story between a dude and his adopted sister.
I guess you're kind of right. I guess, yeah.
In part,
totally
in part. I mean, that's the emotional thrust of the film. Yeah. That and the connection between the father and the children with Gene Hackman. But so there, it does have that romantic angle, so I threw it in there.
Okay.
So yeah.
I accept it.
You accept it?
I accept
it. Thank you so much.
I'll take it.
Thank you so much for your benevolence. That was the only one you come up with. True Romance.
True Romance.
Not a sentimental guy.
You didn't even come up with Code 46. Shut your mouth.
You got me on that one. You got me on that one. That's a great one. All right. Well, you know what? That's all of them. That's all the questions. That's everything we're gonna do.
Oh, word.
So
there we go. There's.
Sir, yo, Crestwood Dome is over. That's the show. Show's over. So let's get some plugs in here. Again, Twitter. I mentioned it a few times already because I love the Twitter. I am at Movie Examiner. But go ahead and tweet us at the show at Crespo Diso. Drew, what's your Twitter?
At Antihero419. Please don't tweet me. I don't care.
Tweet him, guys. Tweet this guy. Make him tweet. Follow him. Come on. Get him to let's make Drew fall in love with Twitter, because we can do it. I know we can do it. I've been trying for a while.
I don't believe you.
I know with your support
people.
I'm very
resistant.
I know with your support people, we can get Drew to fall in love with Twitter.
It's not
gonna happen. @antihero419. 419. Yep, yep. There's 418 other antiheroes out there.
Apparently.
Facebook.com/CinemaCrespoD. So, I should have mentioned this at the top of the show. I'll mention it now. We're on the iTunes.
Oh, we made it.
We're on the iTunes.
We hit the big time.
All you got to do is go to the iTunes store. You can search Cinema Crespo Diso, and it pops right up. So, favor. Guys, I'm asking you to do us a favor. I need you to do three things. I need you to go to iTunes, and you need to pull up Cinema Crespo Diso. The first thing you need to do is subscribe. That's very important. We need to get that number of subscribers up.
Whether you use your iTunes or not.
If you get you get the show through chriscrespo.com, if you get it from aircheck.us, no matter where you're getting
from. That's
all
nice. That's all well and good, but please.
Please go to iTunes, subscribe to the show. All right? It's very simple. All you got to do is click on a button. After you do that, that's favor number one. Favor number two, we need you to rate the show. If you could rate it five stars, that would be awesome.
We might not be bringing five star quality production.
Work with us, guys.
Or quality entertainment here, but
we're doing our best.
We're sure we will eventually.
We're gonna fake it until we make it. You need to help us, so please rate us five stars, and
that'll help us make it.
That'll help us make it, and write a review if you could write a quick.
And we won't
words,
have to fake it anymore.
And then we won't have to fake it. Write a quick review. That's the third favor. Subscribe, rate, review on iTunes. Very simple. If you have a question for the show, or if you in the Crespo Disco, if you want your music featured in the Crespo Disco, you can hit us up, cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com.
Please, somebody.
Yeah, someone let us know. Let us know you want your music played. It doesn't matter what type of music it is, movie related or not. If you want to play it on our show, we'll play it for you because we're cool like that. So that's it. That's it for the show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Thanks for downloading. Tuning in. No one tunes in these days. You downloaded. Thank you for downloading.
You're such an old man.
I am an old man. Thank you for downloading. Drew, thank you so much for being here.
You're very welcome, sir.
Again, iTunes, subscribe, rate, review, Twitter, Gmail, all that stuff. We'll be back.
ChrisCrespo.com.
We'll be back this weekend with episode 6, Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
So until then, have a good night, sleep well, and peace out.
I'm going to have to work on my Jedi mind tricks this weekend.
Be careful with those.
Can I beatbox inside and up? Yeah, Crespo Diso. It's the cinema of the Crespo Diso. It's the cinema. I'm Chris Crespo. What? And we're out.
Okay.